from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or at cock crow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. It's that time of year again where there's this candle wreath in the way, so if you need to smudge over, that's how it goes. We tried to figure out where we could put it. There was no place. Each week, I greet you with something like St. Paul greeted the early church. Today, the greeting is actually in the reading from Corinthians that Heather just read to us. So from Paul to the Christians in Corinth a long time ago, and from me to the Christians in High Point this morning, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a kid, I got mixed messages about Advent. My pastor dad was always trying to keep us in church, remembering in church that it was not Christmas yet. You're a pastor's kid too, aren't you? Yep. People said, we don't get to sing the Christmas carols enough. And he would say, that's because it's not Christmas. It's not Christmas in here. It might be out there, but it's not Christmas in here in the church. It's Advent. And I think, now knowing what I know, I think he would want to say, if you really want to sing Christmas carols with your congregation, you could hop in the church van and sing them with us to the homebound when we go. Or you could come to worship on Christmas morning, because we always had worship on Christmas morning for the 20 or so who would come. Or you could come to worship the Sunday after Christmas Eve. It's another low attendance day, right? We sing loads of carols that day. And the next Sunday usually falls around New Year's. We sing carols that day too. You want carols? We got them. But we sing them during the Christmas season, which starts on Christmas Eve. So at church, we did not have Christmas early. We slowed down and we stayed in that yearning space, the time in the church year when we both imagine and remember what it feels like when someone promises you something. And in this case, it's a promise that you want and need so badly that it makes you cry when you imagine receiving it. And we heard the prophets tell of God's promise to save Israel, and we heard John crying in the wilderness that the ancient promise was actually currently walking around Galilee, which seems like we're getting ahead of ourselves, but not really, because we live in the in-between times. And since there aren't very many Advent hymns, we sang O Come Emmanuel way too many times. If you can possibly pray for God to keep God's promise and save you from injustice and hatred and loneliness too many times, if that's possible, then we did it. Dad helped us stay in Advent in the church. Now, my mother was a textbook pastor's wife. She directed children's plays and adult musicals. She sewed banners and painted backdrops. She sang in the choir she wasn't directing, and she cooked in the kitchen at every event. My beautiful mother sewed all our clothes. And at Christmas, she made herself something beautiful to wear to all the Christmas open houses and parties that she and my dad would be invited to, and often I got a matching dress. My brothers got new shirts and vests. Sometimes my dad got a new stole. Her sewing machine is the rhythmic backdrop to my childhood. My mom did all of those things on the weekends and in the evenings because she was a middle school home ec teacher full-time during the week. More than full-time, let's just be honest. Thanksgiving weekend was always a long weekend, and it was the only time my mom had to create memories with us. First, of course, we had to clean the house. Then we could decorate the house and the tree. December would be crammed full of end-of-semester work at school and Christmas pageants and luncheons and such at church. So while Dad was holding this space for Advent at church, Mom was creating Christmas clothes and goodies and memories at home. I paint you this picture of my own family because there we were, the pastor's family, living both the whispers and promises of Advent and the bright lights and jingle bells of Christmas. Maybe because I grew up in such a household, I hold Advent very sacred. And I believe that I am called among you to lead us through the church year, pointing to Christ all along the way, and maybe particularly noticing the quiet parts of the story that never make the big screen. But I do not feel angsty about wearing a Santa hat and caroling before Christmas Eve. We can have both, but we really need both. As we journey to the manger together in these next weeks, we will be using the song that we sang today when we lit the first candle on our wreath. The verses of the song, the litanies and the prayers that maybe you will help lead, they use the following watchwords through the weeks. Today is wait, we wait in hope. Next week is watch, we watch in hope. The next week will be prepare, we prepare in hope. The last Sunday of Advent will be praise, we praise with hope. And Christmas Eve will be proclaim, we proclaim with hope. Wait, watch, prepare, praise, and proclaim. But I always knew it was watch, repent, rejoice, and Emmanuel. I knew that. It was always, I don't remember having the wreath on Christmas Eve. Maybe we did, but I know. It was watch, repent, rejoice, and Emmanuel. And you know why I know for sure? Because my dad made stained glass windows that hung off of the candles. And the first one was watch. And then repent. And then we got a pink one. Because the third Sunday at Advent is pink. If you got it, rejoice. And the last one was always Emmanuel. And they hung from the wreath, and every week we would add another one. And Kay is thinking ours would never hold that, right? So I just knew that it was sacred and etched in stone somewhere, right? It was watch, repent, rejoice, and Emmanuel. Always. But it's just not true. You may have grown up with four other watchwords, or maybe five if it includes Christmas Eve. And maybe you, someone else, grew up with another one. Or maybe some of you grew up with no watchwords or wreath or Advent. God's people have been thinking and praying about this season for a very long time. And one of the beautiful blessings of the length and breadth of the church is all the ideas. If we can get past our love of tradition and our certainty that however we did it when I was a kid is the way that it has always been done, if we can do that, we will find new language and melody and images that help reveal Emmanuel to us. Did you hear Isaiah's words today as Heather read them? Listen to Isaiah's request to God. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries, so the nations might tremble at your presence. Isaiah calls on the Lord to come down from heaven. And when God comes down, the effect of God's presence is felt in real ways. It's not come down from heaven and stand quietly next to me. It's tear open the heavens and come down to make things happen. This is cause and effect language. Like, he says, like when fire burns wood and then that fire makes water boil. Tear open the heavens and come down so that people know who you are. And when people know who you are, they will stand in your presence the way we, Israel, stand in your presence, knowing your power. Well, we don't always stand in awe of you. We aren't always trembling in your presence. Isaiah continues, but you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, our sins, like the wind, take us away. So here is the picture that Isaiah is painting. To be unclean is to not have kept God's law in some way. And in this case, he says, all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth, likely meaning that even the things that we do, that we believe to be righteous, are like a cloth with blood or something on it that make you unclean. So Isaiah is saying that the things we do to be righteous, that we just know are pleasing to God, our patterns of prayer, our use of watch, repent, rejoice, and Emmanuel during Advent, our offerings, our worship, are like a crumpled up rag someone used to clean up a gross mess. Because we're sinners. And even when we pray, we do so sometimes selfishly and certainly imperfectly. And even when we worship during Advent, we love our patterns and phrases more than we love our sisters and brothers who bring new patterns and phrases. And even when we offer our money and our time and our energy, we hold back more than we need. And sometimes we resent and judge those who need our money and our time and our energy. And when we bring food for the shopping cart out there, we bring it when we remember. I forgot again today. And we bring a little something extra that we have tossed into a cart full of food for us. We try to be faithful, but we are in bondage to sin and we cannot free ourselves. So please, please, God, tear open the heavens and come down. We cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior. So Isaiah continues, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. But consider, we are all your people. You are God. We are not. Do not hold our sinfulness against us forever. Please, please, tear open the heavens and come.